Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Aurelia Metals Limited FY26 half-year financial results call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bryan Quinn, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining us to hear about the Aurelia Metals FY26 half-year results. I am joined by Chief Financial Officer Martin Cummings today, and obviously I'll pass it over to Martin in certain sections of the presentation. While I'm on just slide one, this has been another great year, half-year, for both operationally and financially for Aurelia Metals. Our strong delivery on metal production and project delivery, supported by obviously strong commodity prices, has delivered a robust balance sheet and strong operating cash flow for the period. We continue to deliver strong results against our strategy, and we can see the benefits of this strategy playing out already. We are delivering consistent metal results from more reliable operations, but we've also have our mills working at near capacity at the current nameplate capacity, which has been a clear strategic deliverable over the past couple of years. During this period, we've also rolled out our mine operating system, our MOS, to really ensure that we're focusing on delivering our plan with the commitments of the team on a daily, shiftly, weekly, monthly basis, which is important for our future sustainability of the business. This has been a deliberate approach to ramping up Federation Mine at the right mining rate, and long-term value of getting our ore from Peak Mine over this period of time that delivers our 40,000 copper equivalent tons in FY28. Our focus on our strategy is really about delivering superior value to our shareholders through a combination of future copper at 50% and future lead zinc at 50% coming out of the Great Cobar mines and the Federation Mine in the coming years. This is gonna continue to position Aurelia really well as we utilize the gold prices of today to invest in our business to achieve, you know, much higher prices in the future, hopefully from copper and other commodities. In the meantime, we'll also be focusing on exploration team on looking to build our strong pipeline of options organically for both copper, base metals, and precious metals while we're expanding our Peak facility in the future. In today's results, Martin and myself will share how we're setting up Aurelia to continue to deliver value for our shareholders through our operations performance while we continue to de-risk our balance sheet and create significant cash much quicker than our hopefully than our peers into the future. Just refer to slide two, which is our forward-looking statement. On slide three, our operations have continued to deliver strong financial returns against again raising the bar from previous halves and results with underlying EBITDA up 41% and our underlying NPAT up 60%. There's still a lot more to come as we ramp up our high-grade Federation Mine and complete expanding our processing capacity from the 800,000 tons capacity to 1.1 to 1.2 million tons in the near future. We'll talk about that in a few slides. The great news for Aurelia is that the current nameplate capacity product expansion, and we are actually really focusing on building stocks in front of the mill coming up in the several couple of months. And I'd like to call out we've achieved record recoveries for some of our commodities as we've been ramping up these tons from our processing plant, which is a great result. The Federation ore body and mine has been ramping up in line with our plan, actually a bit ahead of our plan for the year, and has been providing very encouraging grades, and the high-quality ore remains well on track to improve month-on-month as we go forward. We have our Great Cobar project, which will be accessing the future high-grade copper and gold deposits for FY28 and beyond, and that's on track and on schedule at the moment, with our development meters progressing quite well. And many of the other aspects of the project are delivering in line with the infrastructure works, the pipelines, and also the surface facilities that are being set up ready for execution over the coming 12 months. So the project's in really good shape, and we're really happy how it's progressing. In line with our other projects, we have, we'll talk in more detail soon, our other growth projects around the expansion of our plant. They're all on schedule at the moment, and we'll see some results of those coming up in the coming quarter, quarter four, and obviously quarter one of FY27, which is exciting. It will deliver some really strong cash flows going into FY27 with this expansion of our plant and business. And importantly, we actually have been able to really maintain a robust balance sheet, which is funding all of our growth from our balance sheet, which is something that we're very proud of and is setting us up for success also. And lastly, from our results in the half, it's important to call out the MREL results. We achieved a significant uplift in resources by 12% and reserve by 17%. This continues to show our ability to really find, explore, and actually develop our businesses into the future with this strong organic pipeline we've actually developed and will continue to develop. Importantly, during the half, we had several of our workforce did suffer a hand and slip-trip injuries across the business. And as a result, our leadership have introduced behavioural-based safety programs and tightened up our induction and training programs on site to really ensure that our people, when they come to work, wherever they're working, they just really think about hazards, use the tools and processes we have, and ensure that they go home safely at the end of every day. That's an improvement we're working on every day till we ensure that people all go home safely, and that's for the benefit of everyone. I'm just going to pass it on to Martin now to talk around the highlights and the balance sheet. Over to you, Martin.
Thanks, Brian. So just moving on to slide 4. And I'll just take you through some of the highlights, but obviously in the Appendix 2, you'll find more detail on the financial results. I'll just point out when we're comparing on this slide, we're comparing to the first half of financial year 25. So starting with revenue, which was up 27%, and that was driven both by our strong production performance in the first half, but undoubtedly also from strong commodity prices. We did have significantly more zinc production and revenue in this quarter as volumes from Federation ramping up, but gold revenue did remain our dominant source with around 53% of revenue coming from gold, about another 2% from silver. Our underlying EBITDA also benefited from the strong revenue, and we expect this to improve in the periods to come with the ramp up of Federation. So as you know, this half we booked the first commercial production from Federation, so commencing 1 July, and that production did come at a lower EBITDA margin initially, and as volumes ramp up, that EBITDA margin will expand. So as we increase our volumes into the second half and beyond, we expect our EBITDA margin to trend up accordingly. Our NPAT has been consistently growing, and we did again this year, underlying NPAT up 60% on that comparison period. Just within the NPAT, just some comments on depreciation. So that was slightly higher for the period, and that's driven by the first depreciation recognised from Federation. The prior period did have a little bit of depreciation in it relating to the last production from Dargues. So you know, that depreciation will ramp up with the majority of the Federation assets depreciated on a units of use basis. You know, as those volumes ramp up, we expect the depreciation to tick up a bit as well. Obviously we're calling out operating cash on that slide, but I'll flick over to slide 5 with the balance sheet. And what we're showing here is our regular chart, but for the 6-month period. And that operating cash flow from the Cobar region really is the standout with $51.2 million. That was up 37% on the prior period. Importantly, though, that does include all of the sustaining capital for both Peak and Federation. So that is a real cash flow generation before growth capital. Federation, as I said, is in that number. And as those volumes ramp up, that number is expected to increase with a higher contribution from Federation. I talked a bit about growth capital in the December quarterly call. We spent $21.4 million on growth capital for the half, and I do expect to see that increase in the second half. Within that, the plant expansion capital was only $4.3 million. So as we move further towards commissioning in those projects, the spend will ramp up. The Great Cobar spend of 11.2 for the first half is largely in line with the ranges that we gave for FY26 for Great Cobar, and there was a bit of spend for decline investment at Federation. I also talked in December about the tax bills, so we finalised our tax return and made a final tax payment for FY25 of $12.2 million, and that's shown in the waterfall. I guess the change I'm showing on this slide relates to restricted cash. So I just want to give you an update on where we're at with the refinance. The process is progressing really well. We are on track to agree to terms in this quarter, and I am targeting a financial close either within this quarter or early in the next quarter. Just recap on what I'm looking for in the refinance is primarily an upsized performance bond facility. As you've been following, we've been cash backing bonds over and above the existing facility that we have, and we have $27.8 million at December sitting in restricted cash. That number's a bit higher today with amounts that we had due in February. And really the key there is to refinance that facility and add that cash back to the balance sheet. So I'm just showing you on that chart what cash could have looked like or will look like once that refinance is complete. So all in all, I'll leave it there, but it's another great half delivered by our ops team and really has meant that our balance sheet remains strong and able to fund all of our growth comfortably. So I'd just like to call out our Aurelia and Ernst & Young teams, some are on the call today, just for their efforts in getting these releases finalised. It's been another smooth process, so thank you from me. And I'll just hand it back to you now, Brian.
Thanks, Martin. Yeah, some excellent results financially and the balance sheet really supporting the business going forward, which is exciting for the team and a lot of good efforts going into that. If I could just move on to slide six, we're very happy how Federation is contributing to the bottom line now. It's ramping up very much in line with our plan. In fact, we do see it continuing to ramp up into the second half of this year, very much ahead of the plan, actually. So very exciting. What's been pleasing is the grade reconciling in line with our plan, and in fact gold has been slightly better. But if you can sort of see the between quarter one and quarter two, some of those uplifts in our grades have been pretty much in line with what we explained to shareholders in the past that we see as we get deeper and into some of these more sort of substantial ore bodies. We will definitely get the upside on the ore body grades, and we're seeing that coming through now as we had committed to do so. So that's good news for the ore body. In terms of Federation itself, the mine, look, we are continuing to advance the decline as we discussed in the quarterly. We are continuing to infill drilling as we push the decline down to really build confidence in and get high confidence in our stope designs and our execution of our plans. That's giving us obviously pretty much upside to our business in terms of we can potentially bring extra tons out from our existing plan when we need to. All the infrastructure's in place now. All of the infrastructure around the workshops, the site is just now operating as a mine and bringing tons out safely, putting them in the trucks and trucking them to the Peak processing facility. And that's going to continue to ramp up as we build the mine and as we continue to build the expansion of the processing plant. It's worthwhile calling out we are continuing to drill the Federation West deposit, which is actually from underground towards Federation West to understand that deposit more as well. And that'll be work that we continue to provide the market updates as we get the results from those areas. But overall, it's a well-executed project and ramping up really nicely in line with the commitments we made to the market. And this deposit continues to be one of the highest grade base metal mines and will continue to unlock future value for the shareholders as we continue to mine, as we continue to push the decline down and unpack the resource. So moving on to slide seven, I just want to talk about the expansion and how we're tracking against the expansion for the Peak processing facility. It's important to reinforce that Federation is ramping up, as we just talked about, and you know we're currently at just about nameplate capacity at the Peak plant. So the expansion coming on at this point in time was always about the timing to have the tailings and process water management in place in Q4 for this financial year, and then have the tertiary ball mill in place and commissioned in Q1 FY27. And that lines up very well with the Federation ore ramping up as well, and also delivery of ore out of both the Peak New Cobar side and the South Mine. So we'll be basically targeting the 800,000 tonne nameplate capacity we have now, moving to the 1.1 to 1.2 million tonne capacity. All of this is being self-funded, and that's a really important call out for investors. We're not like seeking funding to do this, and the capital is very reasonable considering the upside in the potential cash that's going to come from this business as we build this. So we're well and truly on track for these projects. As you can sort of see in the photo of the slide, that's the ball mill that's come from Dargues. We repurposed that mill, have dismantled it, pulled it apart, and have put it on a truck and brought it up to the Peak site. And very much it's now waiting for the construction work to happen to be able to place the ball mill in place. But the substation or the power station substation that's come with it from Dargues has actually already been placed in place on its steel trestles, and also the electrical work will commence very soon for that particular part of the project. In terms of the tailing and water management, that project is progressing well, and like I said, we are well and truly on track for Q4 for the project going forward. I'll just move on to slide 8, which is the growth in mineral resource and ore reserves. Look, this is really about our future, where the business goes, what we're extracting now, what we're going to extract in the future. Look, if you look at our pipeline between the Cobar at the top left-hand side of the plan to the Federation mine down the bottom, we have a large set of tenements in dark grey, which we are actively exploring. And if you look at the sort of the portfolio of opportunities, or pipeline of opportunities on the right-hand side, from Peak Copper, Peak Zinc Lead, the Nymagee Copper and the Federation, we have a large set of opportunities that we are working on in our long process going forward, obviously, to build our portfolio and optionality for maximum value. But right now, the real call out for us is the Emerald has done in this half of FY26 and 29 million tonnes up 12%, and obviously our ore reserves are up 17%, which is testament to our exploration teams really looking hard at where we're discovering, working on the resource, and obviously how we can convert that into a development opportunity for ourselves in the current mines. So some really nice grades, really good resource, some good reserves all in front of us as a business, and really it's a great opportunity for really to enterprise in that going forward. If I just move on to the next slide, which is a great Cobar. So as you're aware, obviously the project was approved last year and we kicked it off in July 1. It's progressing very, very well. It's basically the development is the key priority right now, as is doing infrastructure work on the surface, getting ready for the shaft sinking in at the back end of this calendar year. At the moment, development is pretty much on schedule. All the infrastructure works are on schedule. And like I said, it's sort of moving down the right direction to get towards that deposit. What is a really important call out? This investment case is materially higher at the current prices than we obviously put to the market last year. It's well worth running those through your models to see this potential uplift in value of the company. And like I said, this is going to be in production to commence within the next 2 years, which is exciting for the company. There is significant value upside potential that we know is under the current study and the current project deliverables we have. So if you look at the plan where the yellow line is sort of around the bottom of the stoping area, that 31, 31C, 31D are holes. We do know what's there, and obviously it's in our prioritisation process now to develop the mine and the declines down to the top of the ore body, put some drilling platforms in place and basically work on infill drilling and also to drill under the current ore body as we know it, under the ore resource we know it, and actually unpack what the potential is, because we know this ore body is open at depths and in all directions, actually. So this is materially a significantly good investment with the current prices, and also, like I said earlier, it's got vague upside just in the resource as we know it, based on what we put in the feasibility study and the project execution plan versus what we know from the drill holes that have been done in the past in 2021. So very exciting project for the business, and this will obviously provide a large proportion of the copper future that it really actually has as a company going forward. I'll just move on to the next slide, which is on the Nymagee slide, slide 10. What's the next catalyst that we've been working on in H1 FY26 is really the Nymagee exploration opportunity for future organic copper growth for our business. We had a massive uplift in resource that we reported in the MRAW in H1 of this year. Drilling is continuing over this calendar year to really look at growing this resource and understand what the potential is. It's really a suitable ore body for both the Hera and the Peak plant. And it's really important to understand the proximity of where this plant, where this is relative to the Hera plant. It's all within 5 kilometres of the Hera plant. It's within close proximity to the camp and infrastructure we have for the Hera Federation group. And basically, it's all on sealed roads in that area. So realistically, it's a very nice location to have a catalyst for future pipeline of opportunities, which is all within stone throwing distance of your infrastructure that Aurelia actually own. And so one of the key focus points of us is obviously to continue to drill this work. At the current present work that's being done, this deposit's not very deep. It's a couple of hundred metres deep and open at depth beyond 700 metres as well, as far as the work the team has actually done. So very exciting opportunity, and obviously it'll be work in progress over the coming period beyond into H2 and into FY27. Look, I just want to wrap up in terms of, you know, where we are against H for half one and what does it mean for us. We are building all the elements to deliver the growth and heading towards our 40,000 copper equivalent tonnes, as we've said, as part of our strategy for FY28. You know, we are building profitability as our production grows. And as you've sort of seen through the presentation, you know, our volumes have increased and will continue to increase. We're putting the infrastructure in place to enable that, and the mines will continue to ramp up to support that. So we expect some really good results. At current NPAT up 60% and EBITDA, underlying EBITDA up at 41%, we can only expect some really, you know, good results as we continue to build our business and the growth that goes behind that. We have a strong cash balance, and we haven't drawn down debt, as Martin talked about. So we feel like we're in a really strong position, especially relative to our peers. And we have been self-funding all of our work and all of our growth, which is obviously a testament to the hard work of the team and the results we've been delivering. Importantly, our execution of our Great Cobar is well and truly underway, on schedule. Like I said earlier, it's really taking up nice shape, and we are prioritising our drilling program from that Great Cobar decline work to ensure we unpack the potential future of what could be an amazing, even better deposit than we have in our resource base now. Our processing capacity available to mine, to take all the mined ore. Our expansion, as I talked about, our first part of the expansion will be finished in quarter four FY26, and then we'll be basically completing the second part of the expansion, which is a ball mill and the power unit. That will be in FY27. And really, we'll be in the 1.1 to 1.2 million ton capacity, and then the mines will be, you know, challenged to basically ensure that we're filling the mill again. We also have the Hera plant available for future options as we unpack our resource in the region, as I've just discussed around some of these catalyst opportunities we have. Importantly, as I said, we have 29 million tons of group mineral resource, and that's obviously we have a proven track record to discover and to develop these ore bodies at a very, very good cost per tonne. And we've actually got a new highly experienced chair has been appointed and has been involved in the first board meeting, and very excited that Graeme Hunt has joined the team and is going to provide very good direction and guidance to the board and obviously to management as well. So all in all, we're in good shape, and we're heading the right direction in line with our strategy. So with that presentation, I'll hand it over to Rocco to maybe take any questions we may have from the group who's dialed in today.
Thank you, sir. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. And today's first question comes from Daniel Roden at Jefferies. Please go ahead.
G'day, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. Good set of clean numbers. Probably got a few boring ones for you today, to be honest. But I just thought you could quickly just clarify the difference between the $9.1 million financing cost in the P&L versus the 2.7 expense. How should we think about the, I guess, the, I assume, non-cash differentials there? Is that rehab amortization style costs that are being thrown into that, and how do we think about that going into future periods?
G'day, Dan. Yeah, it's about rehab unwind and also about amort of borrowing costs incurred in previous periods. So that's they're the main items that sit in the non-cash portion of that.
Yep, too easy. And another boring one. DNA, I know we've spoken about it previous periods, but just trying to get a sense of where DNA is going to fall kind of in second half FY26 and kind of into FY27, acknowledging it's pretty difficult with the change in operations, but probably the only material change to expectations, I think, in the period. So just trying to get a sense of how that's going to balance out.
Yeah, no worries. So let me just split the 23 up for the first half. So roughly that was $15 million of peak and around $8 million for Fed, just under $8 million. And there was a bit of corporate. So the 15 is pretty solid for peak, but as we reinvest in the plant and then start operating at the higher throughput, you expect that number to tick up a little bit. For Federation, as I say, around $8 million for the first half. I've got it at around $20 million for this year, so that'll be the tick up in the second half. So group depreciation should land around sort of 50 to 55 for the year, and then be a bit higher next year as we're getting into those higher volumes out of Federation primarily. You see it sort of step up a bit again.
Awesome. No, that was perfect. Thank you. And just confirming that tax shield's largely exhausted, so you're now going to be a taxpayer going forward?
Yeah, we are a taxpayer. You might recall back during COVID, we were taking advantage of those loss carryback provisions. So we were getting cash back through those 22-23 periods. So we effectively exhausted our tax shield in that way. All of the DARG's closure from FY24 has been pushed through the FY25 tax return. So now we're pretty clean, yeah.
Yep, sounds good. And I'm sure I know the answer I'm going to get here, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask it anyway. But just going to ask about the Keolaris transaction. How do you, do you see yourselves playing a role inside of that? Given that some of the PL assets obviously have quite strong synergies potentially with your portfolio, is that something that you're looking at or just happy to look at it from the sidelines?
I'll take that one. I think at this point in time, we're always looking at where the best growth options are for ourselves to fill our mill or mills, and we always look for what the best value is for our business in terms of what our shareholders would expect us to do. So, we will continue to look at that. As we sort of said, we have a really good catalyst already. We have a great Cobar deposit, which is still lots of potential that we can drill, potentially unpack and grow our business from. We have the Nymagee, and we have lots of other sort of greenfield opportunities we're looking at as also. They will always be assessed against what other options are in the region that make sense to us, and whatever the most value accretive is for the business, we will look at. So we won't give a definitive answer on anything we're looking at, but it's always about value. So if we have it in our pipeline and we have, and we've got a pretty strong portfolio of resource ahead of ourselves that we don't have to pay additional for. So realistically, our mills are currently full with a nameplate capacity of 800,000. We're going to fill them again with our Federation and our ore bodies coming out of the Peak South Mine, New Cobar and Great Cobar. And obviously we're looking at, well, when do we look at Hera and how we do use Hera? But if we have the resource ourselves and we have it at a good price ourselves, we'll continue to look at that. But it's always about value. What's the best value for us? And we'll look at both organic and inorganic at the right time, or based on what's going to deliver the most shareholder outcomes.
Yep. Thank you. Appreciate the response. And, thanks, Brian and Martin. And Brian, thank you for your tenure at Aurelia. Yes, much appreciated.
I haven't finished yet. Got a long way to go.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody. And our next question today comes from Paul Kaner at Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Brian and Martin. Just a couple of questions, if I may. Just firstly, on your balance sheet and growth projects, I guess you've sort of got 86 mil of cash. You're about to refinance that facility and get that restricted cash as well. I mean, taking all of this into account, along with your outlook for cash flows, is there any sort of potential to fast-track some of your growth projects at this time?
Look, in terms of our growth projects, Great Cobar is on schedule at the moment, and you've got a bunch of declines heading down to the project. We also have sufficient copper or gold ore in Chesney, New Cobar, and Jubilee. So in terms of the mill, our focus is on filling the mill and keeping the mill full, and as it expands, keeping the mill full again. And then really the acceleration will come from drilling programs, and we are funding the drilling programs a lot more in FY26 than we have in FY25 and 24, et cetera. So to be honest, if you look at the growth and acceleration, it's really about getting Federation ramped up and it's going well, and getting Great Cobar developed and getting it drilled for further information, Nymagee drilled for further information. So they're all progressing quite well, but at the end of the day, it's about what mill we want to fill the mill, keep it mill full, and that's our focus right now, because that'll generate the most value for shareholders in the short, medium term, both at the Peak mill and obviously options for the Hera mill. So as we continue to deliver, obviously, good cash flow and a very strong balance sheet, we'll continue looking at options to accelerate, and the board will continue to challenge us on those acceleration options as well. And that will happen generically as we go forward.
Yeah, too easy. And then just secondly, just following on from Dan's question, and I guess looking at the organic versus inorganic approach, and taking into account Nymagee there on slide 10, sorry. You talk about sort of potentially processing Nymagee through both Hera or Peak. I guess what comes into consideration for this decision? Do you need more material to justify Hera restart? And I guess how much CapEx would be required to restart the Hera mill to turn that back into, a copper con, bulk copper con type processing plant?
Yeah, look, thanks. That's a good question. So we're looking holistically at, obviously Hera mill is there and available. It's off the grid plant. And we're looking at, well, with the combination of what we already have with Great Cobar, the New Cobar, the South Mine and Federation, what's the right configuration to maximise value? Yeah, with obviously commodity prices as they are today and where they'll be in the future, what is that right combination? So as we get more information, we do want more resource information out of Nymagee before we make any decision, obviously, and that's what the drilling program is all about. Once we have that information, we'll look at the trade-off of, well, Where is the best position to go versus, where's the best, position for Federation to go versus where's the best position for the ores out of South Mine and North Mine and Great Cobar to go using the infrastructure we actually have. It's important to understand that we send trucks from Federation, they drive past full of ore, they drive past Hera and they head their, 95 Ks to Peak Plant. That truck then turns around and comes back empty, back towards past Nymagee, past Hera, back to Federation. So we actually have like a logistics chain already in place that can actually optimise on sealed roads, the access to those ore deposits, both at Great Cobar, the Peak South Mine, Nymagee exploration area, Hera Plant, and also Federation. It's one direct road basically, which is all sealed, which is in excellent condition. So it's all about optionality for us and just thinking once we get the extra information on the resource, out of Nymagee, we'll then look at what does that mean. We'll get extra information out of Great Cobar in the next couple of years as well to see what that means. And we'll continue to drill in Peak South and Chesney areas as well. So it's about getting your options and optimising them all with what you have. That's the organic side. And during that period, you'll also be looking at what's the inorganic options as well, which, one of the things with inorganic options is they do cost you more money and you really don't know what's under the hood till you have a look. So I guess you've got to weigh up those sort of options all the time and see where you're best to put your money for shareholder value.
Yeah, that's clear, Brian. So I guess down the track, it's first and foremost keeping that mill full there at peak, but then I guess any excess material down there you could put back on the truck to come back up to Federation should you wish to restart the Hera mill and maybe combine that with Nymagee.
And then, yeah, and then the cost of what you'd put into the Hera mill will all be depend on what ore source you put through there. Effectively, it depends on the ore, it depends on the actual the feed type. We decide which is best to go through Hera. That will obviously decide what the cost of capital will be to do that mill. In the past, we've sort of said, you know, 20 to 30 million to restart Hera. That'll all depend on the ore type we put through, and I'd say that we'd have to do a reassessment of that again, and I wouldn't definitely use those numbers in that assessment. I would think about what that looks like when we come up with the ore source feed for that. In the meantime, it's really important we do keep the mill full with the expanded numbers. 1.1 to 1.2 is going to be very, very good value for and good cash flows for our shareholders.
Yeah, no, that's very clear. I appreciate the colour, Brian. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time, and I'll hand back to Mr. Quinn for closing remarks.
Yeah, thanks very much, Rocco. Look, just to start with, I want to obviously thank the shareholders for continuing to support us and follow our strategy execution. We've talked about definitely all of our management and our people who are working every day to deliver the results and the associated contracting partners and the strategic partners we have to support us as well. I'm really excited for where Aurelia is going. We are building a business step by step to get to this sort of larger volume in a very sequential way, funding our way to get there through our delivery, putting the systems in place behind us. We've got some great talent involved in our organisation that is supporting this business going forward. And like I said, we have a very clear path to get there. You will see, you know, the profitabilities will, you know, at the current prices, we'll only get better as our production grows, as we expand. You know, that balance sheet, as a result, will get strong. And there's lots of upside to the business in terms of where we're going with both the copper growth and also with the resource base we're looking at using as well going to the future. So thanks, everyone, for joining us. Really appreciate it. And we look forward to speaking to you at the next quarterly update.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.